Welcome back to our tour of Canada's first passive house. It is a home designed to use 90% less energy than typical homes, and featuring geothermal, a green roof, and many other design considerations. In the first half, we heard how this great design all started from Chris Stratka of Verrick Design and Ross Elliott of HomeSoul. We now take you to the third floor, where we ask Chris about his decision to invest in solar panels as a part of the Ontario Power Authority's MicroFit program.
We saw a financial opportunity in participating, and because we, as I was saying, don't have a money tree growing in our backyard, there wasn't endless financial resources to apply to this green building project. And the Ontario government helped make it a decision that required very little thought, but it likely would have been something that we would have done on this project anyways, so that we could turn this building into a net zero building over time.
But presumably the energy you generate from the solar panels won't be used in-house, it'll be fed back into the grid.
That's right. With the MicroFit program, you're feeding back in, and that's how you can make the 80 cents.
Did you consider putting on a solar hot water heater system?
Did consider it, and it likely will get installed as well. It's not on the roof yet, but what we did do, and this is also encouraged by the LEED green building programs, and that's creating solar-ready structures if they're not already taking advantage of solar technology like photovoltaic or solar hot water. And what that basically means is running a conduit from the roof to wherever your mechanicals are. And in this case, it's running a conduit from the roof to the basement at a cost of a couple $100.
We then went down half a floor to where the rainwater collection reservoir could be installed for the future.
So from that rooftop and from this terrace on the front, we're able to collect water. Those collection points are plumbed through the structure and terminate just above this space that we're looking into right now. So if we were to open up that ceiling of this void, we'd find a 4-inch drain pipe. I was talking about solar ready. What I'm describing right here is rainwater collection ready. So the structure in this surface, this floor surface, is enough to support a volume of water equal to the space that we're looking into. That's a fair amount of water. It would certainly allow us, with the plumbing that's already in the walls of this building, to fill up the toilets 100 times over, you know, not to mention provide water for hose bibs that are on the outside of the building. That plumbing is already in place. All we need to do is add the collection tank at this point. And you'll notice the number of stairs in the home. I think you commented on that as we were heading up to the third floor originally. The reason why this building goes up instead of out is because of the tight lot that we're sitting on. We really aren't in a very big building. Our gross floor area in this building is about, well, I can tell you, it's almost exactly 1,650 square feet. Now, when you subtract out the storage space for rainwater or the mechanical room, we're down at 1,500 square feet.
Is the other half of the duplex an exact mirror image?
They're identical, yeah. They're just a mirror image. So 1,500 to 1,600 square feet, 3.5 bathrooms, an honest-sized living room, a good-sized kitchen and eating space. I think that's quite generous for an urban residence.
Walking throughout the house, Henry and I had noticed the unusual concrete-like flooring that was installed throughout. We detected that this may be a great design feature to look into.
Is the heating system the reason for this particular sort of flooring you have in the house?
Yeah, for it's a radiant heating system in the floor, and for that to be most effective, it's best to use a dense material as your floor, as opposed to taking this, which is a material called a Gilliascrete A. It's similar properties to a concrete floor, but isn't concrete per se. But instead of covering it, say, with hardwood or especially with a carpet, we've just left it not completely raw. We put an epoxy coating on it, but didn't purposely cover it with a carpet, which would act as an insulator. So any heat that was trying to come out of the floor, you wouldn't necessarily feel on your feet because you've got this insulation blanket carpet in between the sole of your foot and the floor itself.
After walking around the house for a while and seeing a number of energy-efficient features, we asked how many more energy considerations had been designed into the house.
There's hundreds, like literally hundreds of things that we've done in this building, from the choice of paint to, as we were just saying, the type of toilet that's been installed, the heating systems, the wood that's gone into framing these walls. It's Forest Stewardship Council certified wood, and it goes on and on and on and on.
Ross then told us about another way the house had been built compared to conventional designs. By doing so, this ensured it would be a sustainable option for the future by using less energy throughout reliable technologies built to last a lifetime.
A lot of buildings we build today are in 50 years, everything in the whole building will have been changed at least once. The flooring and the windows and the roofing and the siding and all of that stuff gets thrown in the dump on a regular basis. Your typical shingle roof ends up in the dump every 15 to 20 years, so at least 5% are throwing them in the dump every year. This house is not going to be disposing anything from the exterior for well over 100 years. So the durability measures of the house are also an important aspect of green. The air quality, fresh air is brought in constantly through the heat recovery ventilator, the HRV, which exchange the heat from the outgoing stale air with the incoming fresh air. So there's a constant change of air in the house.
So do you ever plan on just finishing and stopping working this project, or is it kind of going to be ongoing?
No, I don't see it as an ongoing adventure with Lego. Ross and I both are looking forward to moving on to the next ones. And we get calls. People are interested in building in a better way first, but also have heard of this program called LEED, or the certification called Passive House, and there's interest. We look forward to helping more people understand where the value is in building in a better way, not only from a financial standpoint, but also from a health standpoint, not only personal health, but also the health of the region that we live in.
Presumably the house costs a little bit more to actually build, given all the technologies you're building into it, but how do you see that as an investment? How long would it take to pay back that extra cost?
That question is a challenging one to answer, and it certainly varies from project to project, especially when you're using different systems in different projects. But in this building, some systems will pay for themselves within as little as 5 or 6 years. There's other systems in this building that will take longer to start paying back, like the MicroFit program that we were talking about earlier. There we might see a horizon that's in 8, 9, 10 years. There's certainly other systems as well that in this building will take even longer. The geothermal heating system had a high capital cost, and especially because of the effectiveness of the building's envelope, because we're not wasting a lot of heat, it's going to take even longer to pay back, perhaps even in the 15 to 20 year range. Overall, I expect that this building will show me significant returns in the 10 to 15 year range.
If you're borrowing the money to build, or even if you're borrowing part of the money to build, and you amortize that over 25 or 30 years, we do an economic analysis of that. So when Chris is talking about things that take 5 to 10 year payback, the other way to look at that, when you flip that around and you borrow that money and you amortize it over a certain period of time, and you're offsetting that with the energy savings, we find that in almost every case, you end up slightly ahead. You don't make a tremendous amount of money, but you're not actually spending money out of your pocket every month. When you take the energy savings and apply that against the mortgage costs, you actually end up maybe a dollar or two a day ahead.
Was your motivation for building this house economic, or was it environmental?
I don't think it's a binary answer. It's not black or white. It's not one or the other. It has to be a combination of both. When we think about creating new things in our environment, whether they're roads or buildings or what have you, we need to be thinking about not only the financial cost. There's other costs and values that have to be part of that equation. For me, it certainly was both. I was thinking about what I know and what's important to me, but I was also thinking about my bank account and how much was or wasn't in that to work with.
Thanks very much for showing us around the house. Really appreciate all the information.
You're very welcome.